Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm so glad you joined us today. Thanks for listening into the show. It's Friday. It is cold outside, but the weekend's here, and I just want you to slow down for a minute and listen for God speaking to your heart. Block out those distractions, all those to-do lists, and let's just see what God might say to you. It might not even be the words that I use, but you know and I know that if we will allow, if we'll slow down and just be still and quiet, even if we're moving down the road, if you're driving down the road today or listening online, just block out everything that's going on and listen for your Heavenly Father's words. I want to talk today about what does it mean to be changed. And I'm going to get to that discussion in just a minute. First, 721 Live is a radio arm of 721 Ministries. It's a men's ministry, primarily a businessman's ministry in the upstate. We do speak to lots of different groups, mixed groups. Check out our website at www.721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. Now today, I want to ask you a couple of questions to get started with. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? Or if you have some small group that you go to during the week or a weekly Bible study, prayer group, whatever it is, why do you do that? I mean, what is your perceived benefit? Now, I know you might be going, oh, Sam, it's not about a benefit. It's about God. Well, okay, maybe not. I believe that everything we do is based on a benefit we think we're going to receive. Now, that benefit could be a selfless one. It may be sincere, and you may be really acting from the heart, and you may really want to grow closer to God, know God, but I'm telling you, everything we do is a cost-benefit analysis, all decisions we make. So again, I come back to, what is the benefit that you're looking for? And if you think it through, let me just ask you, does it make you feel better about yourself? Does it satisfy an inner need to do something spiritual each week? Is it the socially accepted thing to do? Or, you know, do you want to be propped up for another week, maybe polished up a little bit? You know, no real wholesale changes now. No need to get too carried away. I just need to be polished up a little bit. And the reason I ask these questions is 721 Ministries got started because I was in so many different churches speaking to Sunday school classes, groups, and I would look out and I would see oftentimes the women were paying attention and they were even taking notes. The men, they're looking around the room. They're looking at their watch. They're chatting in the back. They're not paying attention. And I realized that men are missing it. Now, if you're a woman, you might very well be in the same boat, so don't check out on me. But my primary focus at the time was men. They're just missing it. They don't realize that there's so much more than just going to church. I call it an epidemic in the pews. Men and women dying eternally, spiritually, in the pews, and nobody's telling them. I just wanted to say, guys, let me shake you. There's more to it. There's more. And the 721 was started for that. It was started for another reason. I think there's a bad PR campaign, and I use that word, that terminology. I don't really mean that. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about Jesus and what he means and what it means to follow him. And you get the term Christianity, and it's thrown around, and it doesn't really mean what it really should mean to follow this guy Christ, this Jesus. And so I wanted to tell these men, it's not what we thought. It's not about all these rules. Yes, there are rules, but they come second. It's about a relationship. Jesus seemed to want to stress this. He kept saying, listen, you've got it mixed up. It's not what you think. And the other reason is I could just see, even with Christians that I believe to be real Christians, but so many people that call themselves Christians, there's no real change. And I use that word change. I'm going to switch that word out in just a minute. But there's no real change between a Christian and the world. And if you look at the statistics, you don't see any change between divorce and white-collar crime and any of those kind of things. There's just no difference. And I thought, we have to tell people there is more to it than that. And so if you go to church, if you go to these small groups to be changed, to be propped up, to be polished up, I need for you to think that through a little more closely. See, at the beginning of each new year, we typically think about areas that we want to improve, personal areas we want to improve. And then, you know as well as me, that as the year goes on, and it's the same with life, we tend to sink back into that same old comfort zone. And the idea of any radical change, well, you know, it's just not that big a deal, is it? I mean, I'm okay. I know. I need to improve in that area, and I will, and I'll get better in that. But in the back of our mind, we're thinking, I'll get to that later. See, this whole idea of improving, of making your little list and then gritting your teeth and doing better at it, and that, I just got to tell you, and I want you to hear this, that is a C-minus approach to life. That's what you'll get, is a C-minus life if that's what you're trying to do. If you're trying to improve, if you're trying to change by your own willpower and by your own gritting your teeth and your own list of things, yeah, you'll change a little bit, maybe, and you'll make a little bit of progress, maybe, and then you'll slide right back. It's a C-minus, and here's what I want you to hear. It's the same with religion. It's the same with, if you're doing religion and not a relationship, if you're doing religion, if you're being a churchian or someone who follows church more than you follow Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you'll get a C-minus. You'll get a C-minus religion. You'll get a C-minus life. Yeah, religion will help you change for the better a little bit, you know, a little improvement in those nasty habits. Well, maybe you'll just get better at hiding those nasty habits. But there's no real change going on. And what I want you to think about is, are you trying to do change or are you trying to be changed? Let me read to you from Galatians 6:15. I'm going to read from the Message translation, Eugene Peterson. I just think it, because in the NIV, which I normally read from, it's too much of an emphasis on circumcision, which doesn't get a lot of traction with us these days. Listen to the way it's set up. God speaking to us through Paul. Can't you see the central issue in all of this? It's not what you do and what I do. Submitting to circumcision, that would be submitting to change by work, that'd be religion. It is what God is doing, and He is creating something totally new, a new life. A new life. So see, folks, forget change. Forget change. Embrace instead transformation. And that's the word I want to lock into your mind and in your heart today. Transformation. Change is just a C-minus. Change is just pedestrian. Change is just stumbling along in life. Transformation is what Jesus is after. It's what God wants for you. I want to give you a couple of quick pitfalls when it comes to change. I was talking to a friend not too long ago, and we had a good spiritual conversation going on, and I could tell that this person felt like they were really moving with God, so I just broached the question, you know, can you tell me a time, or help, you know, go back and tell and conjure up and tell me the time that you were really spiritually moved, that you were born again, if you want to use that terminology, which I like now. Used to not understand it, but I understand it now. Can you tell me a time? And this person said, yes, 4 years ago. Well, through the conversation, what I realized is that they started going back to church 4 years ago, that they got real involved with church 4 years ago, and it felt good, and there was this warm, fuzzy feeling, and it's socially accepted, and it's a nice thing to be around people. And yes, they were changed a little bit, and they liked going to church a little bit. And so, you know, that's what this, my friend, thought was their salvation. They were changed. Another friend of mine was listening to something I'd said, and he approached me afterwards, and he said, you know, I really appreciate what you're talking about there. And he said, you know, and I feel like I'm changing too. And I know this friend of mine, and what I want to say is, no, you're not changing. You're just 55 years old, and you're getting slower and more mature, and the things that used to be temptations, they just don't tempt you anymore. But you're changing, but you're just getting older and more mature. You're not being transformed. See, there's a huge difference between change and transformation. I want you to embrace transformation. Change is for all the C-minuses in the world. And I'm telling you, the world is full of C-minuses. Just like religion is full of C-minuses. We want to be seeking transformation. See, here's what you have to understand. Here's what I have to understand. We've already been formed spiritually. If you're anywhere beyond whatever a young age, you've been formed spiritually, for better or for worse. That's why we need to be transformed. And here's what I want you to hear. The first step is not for you to go out and make a plan. The first step is not for you to make a list of ways that you are going to plan to get transformed. See, you're not doing transformation. You are being transformed. Listen to what Paul writes in Galatians again. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has mesmerized you? Who has fooled you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, by working? Or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Listen to this. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? See, what God has saying to us through Paul is you start with the Spirit. And yes, your human effort plays a part in it, but it is not the sole purpose. It is not the way you go through this. You've got to join up with the Holy Spirit to be transformed. Trying to attain it by purely by human effort, again, you're back at a C-. You're back at a pedestrian way to approach your spiritual journey. It's religion. Human effort is religion. Being transformed comes through grace. See, now, hear this, and this is a Dallas Willard quote, one of my favorite authors. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. So see, when it comes to transformation, yes, make up your to-do list. But understand, that's not the first step. The first step through this process of grace is surrender. That's the first step. You start off on your list of things, and you, I just will tell you, you'll get a little ways, and then you'll drift back. Just like we do in life, just like we do in religion, just anything like that. We just like God says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? That's Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Transformation comes through grace, and grace comes through surrender. You do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You surrender to Him as your Savior, and then more and more He becomes your Lord. Grace comes through surrender. You can have your to-do list, but that has to follow surrender. You surrender your life. You surrender your kingdom, because we all want to be kings of our little kingdom. Surrender and grace have to be the first step. The Holy Spirit has got to come into your life. You've got to surrender yourself to Jesus as your Savior first, and then as your Lord. And then you can start the process of being transformed. And the good news and the bad news is, He will make sure that you are transformed. And that can be bad news if you try to resist that, or if you try to do it on your own. Because Jesus is all about, and God is all about, us being more and more Christ-like. Being transformed as we go through life. Jesus loves us, you've heard this before, loves you just the way you are, and way too much to leave you that way. He wants to see you transformed. Listen to what God says in Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. See, that's a surrender. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So see, it starts with surrender. It starts with the first surrender, which is your life, your heart, your kingdom to Christ, and asking Him to be king. Like one of my friends said, he said, I finally just said, I'm done, you're it. I'm done, you're it. I'm out. Tag, you're my king. I don't want to be king anymore in my kingdom. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so then transformation comes from being, from day by day, refusing to conform to the patterns of this world, and then being transformed. We'll be back for the second half. We'll talk more about transformation. See you in just a minute. Welcome back to 721 Live, the second half of the show. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us. Just let me remind you that the things that we talk about on the radio show, you can typically find on our website. If you go to www.721ministries.org, that's the number, 721ministries.org, www.721ministries.org, and then we have a link to a Putting Green blog, and you'll find all these written up on that Putting Green blog. Check it out. There's a lot on that website. We are talking about change, being changed, as opposed to being transformed. Or more, we're talking about being transformed as opposed to being changed. And what I want you to hear is change will get you a little ways down the road, but it will not get you very far. Transformation is what we're after. If you really could get inside your heart, you'd realize, I want to be transformed. I want to tell you a quick personal story. I was talking to a friend who just turned 50, and we had first met 4 years ago, and 4 years ago he was a kind of a jumbled mess of a lot of different conflicting emotions and lifestyles and things going on. And I remember saying, you know, if you'll just focus on Jesus, if you'll really turn your life to Him, if you'll surrender to Him, And you know, because at this point he was 46 and he was staring at 50 and worrying about what his life was going to be like at 50, because he didn't have the job he wanted. He didn't have a wife. He had been married, but he didn't have a wife. And I said, you know, if you'll do that, who knows, by the time you're 50, God may have straightened a lot of those kinds of things out in your life. Well, he really did focus on Jesus, and he really did turn his life back to him. And he turned 50 just the other day, and I called him to just wish him happy birthday, and he said, you know, you told me by 50 that God would have a lot of this straightened out. And he said, I still don't have a wife, and I still don't have a job that I like. And as we talked and went on through it, you know, what I eventually reminded him was, okay, back when I met you 4 years ago, you smoked a lot. You drank a pretty good bit. You were in bars 3 or 4 nights a week. You were chasing women and going from bar to bar, chasing women. It really, and if you'd have it, you were chasing life. You were chasing what God warns us against when he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You were chasing the patterns of this world. You smoked. You drank a lot. You chased women. You bar hopped during the week. And now he's quit smoking. He doesn't go to bars anymore. He doesn't chase women. I mean, he's interested in girls, and he likes to have a good time, but all those things are gone. They're out of his life. And back then, he was so nervous and so uptight and so had so much anxiety. I felt like the vein sticking out his forehead was going to pop at any minute when I was talking to him. And now he's just got this relaxed nature about him. He's calmer. He's more content. He's got a peace in his life. And he'll say, you know, the reason I don't go to bars is because I don't want to go to bars anymore. I'm not going to chase women and hang out at bars anymore. His life has been transformed. I saw him at a worship service not too long ago, and he came out with tears flowing down his eyes. This is a big old strong tough guy, and I'm thinking, yes, God has worked these things out in your life by the time you're 50. He has changed your life, and if you sat down and really put it down on a piece of paper, what would you choose? To have the great job and the wife, if you had to give up the tranquility and the peace and the harmony in your life and the contentment and the relationship you have with the Lord now, that kind of rhythm in your life, would you give that up for those things? Not that it's an either or, but where he is right now, he has been transformed. And you see, that's what we want to see. That's what Jesus wants for us. Did he sit down 4 years ago and make out a to-do list and the steps he was going to take to get to this point? No. I don't think he ever did. I don't think he determined he was going to quit smoking or quit going to bars. But as God filled his life, as God transformed him, those things just fell by the wayside. He just didn't need them. The old patterns lost their hold over him. They no longer had a mastery over him. He was no longer a slave to them. And it's a beautiful thing to see that happening in anyone's life. How does that happen? You know, one of my favorite passages is Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You might hear that and think, well, what that means is if I'm real holy and churchy and really even sincerely so, that God will give me what I want. Well, what my friend wanted was a better job and a wife, but what he now has are the desires of his heart. Because he took his focus off what he thinks will make him happy and put it on Jesus Christ. You see, when we stop chasing what we are so sure will make us happy, and we surrender all that to God, we'll look around one day, sooner or later, probably sooner than later, and we'll see that we really have the true desires of our heart. And we didn't even know that's what they were. We'll see that what our original previous desires were, that what we really wanted was that worldly C-. We just couldn't see that. And that C- is all we'll get if we try to work through change. God gives us a transformed heart. Now, there's 3 reasons why, in my mind, it's so important that we are transformed versus changed. Number 1, he's worthy. Jesus Christ is worthy of our being transformed, of our being so spiritually moved that we now glorify him. He's worthy of that. 2, our inner life is, and I'm going to use a word here, enhanced. Our inner life, our heart, is enhanced. Not improved, but enhanced. And then 3, we become a shining light. We become a shining light for others. Now, you know, 1, we become a shining light for our children. We become a shining light for our wives and or our husbands, the loved ones around us that are closest to us. I got to tell you a quick story. I was watching TV the other night with my daughter. We were watching 24, one of our favorite shows, and we were TiVoing it, so we were watching it back on TiVo, and she leaned over and accidentally hit the TiVo, and it jumped ahead 30 minutes. Now, I thought I was kidding around with her. I really thought I was kidding around, but I kind of jumped on her for jumping it forward 30 minutes because now we knew what was going to happen. I thought I was kidding around, and she looked at me and said, "Dad, when you say something like that to me, it sticks in my brain. I know you're kidding, but it sticks in my brain. Then I get back to college, and I say that same thing to my friends." Now, I want you to know, if I could have switched that and gone back 5 minutes and said, "Take a hatchet and chop my arm off with no Novocaine or no anything, no painkiller, anything," I'd have said, "Chop my arm off." I just sat there knowing that I have so far to go. I need to be transformed. I want to continue to be transformed. Yes, I could say, "Okay, I'm never going to do that again. And I'll make sure I grit my teeth and I do better." And that'll only get me so far. What I want is to be the kind of person that would never come out of my mouth. Those kind of smart-alecky remarks, or the lust that you may have, or the greed that you may have, or the envy you may have, or the anger you may have, or whatever it is, that just isn't in your heart anymore because you've been transformed. We become a shining light for our children. I cannot tell you how important that is. Hear that today. We become a shining light for our wives and our husbands. You know, Peter says to wives, you know, you don't have to put on, I mean, it's okay to put on jewelry and all that, but that's not what's going to get your husband's attention. That's not the beauty you want to show. And you're not going to nag your husband into becoming a believer. He'll see by the inner light. He'll see by what shines forth from you that you've been transformed, and he'll want that. And if you're a husband, she'll want that. And if you're in your sphere of influence, the people that you work with, the people that you deal with, go to school with, hang out with, whatever, every day, they're watching. And they might not even know they're watching. The world is watching. We never know who's watching us. But we have to pay attention to be transformed, because there's no real difference in what's going on. There's no real difference in our lives if we're just being changed. When we work after change, our life is improved somewhat. But when we surrender to Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior first, and then more and more as our Lord, we become enhanced. We become changed. Our heart's desires become enhanced, not improved. And that's what we want. That is what we need, is to be transformed. Richard Foster writes an article in Christianity Today, and it came out in the January issue. And I just want to read a couple things from you. He says, we are each and every one of us a tangled mass of motives, hope and fear, faith and doubt, simplicity and duplicity, honesty and falsity, openness and guile. But through time and experience, as we move towards God, sometimes much time and experience, he says, God begins to give us an amazing staidness in the divine center. And he says, this is not ecstasy, but serenity, unshakableness, and a firmness of life orientation. We begin to develop a habit of divine orientation. Not perfection, but progress in our life towards God. And slowly we find that little glances heavenward and quiet breathings of submission are all that we need to draw us into that habitual orientation of our heart towards God. And without even knowing it, we are practicing the presence of God and we are being transformed. That is what we want, transformation. Now listen, remember I said, grace is not opposed to effort, it's just opposed to earning it. So let me read another passage to you from God, Philippians 2:12. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Listen to those words. Continue to work out your salvation, not work for your salvation, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. What God is saying to us through Paul is, we play a part in this. You don't just sit in a closet and say, "Transform me, God." We play a part. We move towards him. We read about Jesus. We hold to his teachings. We spend time with him. He transforms us, but we have a role in that. So, work up your to-do list. Just understand it comes after the surrender. Improvement is the work of man. Transformation is the work of God. Change solely by your own efforts produces, you know, at best a little creek that's meandering along, you know, just trickling along. That's what you get changed by, solely by your own effort. But transformation through Jesus produces this overflowing stream of living water. This is what Jesus said in John 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Streams of living water will flow from within him. That's transformation. That changes the world around you. That's a heart that has been enhanced. Streams of living water flowing from within the transformed person, not the changed person. Each week we publish on our website a recap of what we talk about today. Visit the Putting Green on www.721ministries.org. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.